Nehemiah, if you would please, chapter 6. We're going to be finishing chapter 6 this evening here in the book of Nehemiah as we move forward through this delightful book of the Old Testament. I hope that you've enjoyed reading through it and studying as we go through these verses. If you would please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. Nehemiah chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 15 through verse 19. And I'm going to spare you tonight reading out loud because there are a lot of difficult names that I'm going to mispronounce, let alone you taking a stab at them with me. Because who knows what we'll be saying if we try to say it the same name different ways all together at once. We might be mistaken for a different kind of church in that case. So here we are in Nehemiah chapter 6. I'll read, you follow along. So the wall was finished, verse 15, in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Jerusalem, in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. So here we are. I mentioned just a little bit as a teaser last week, that in verse 15 it says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. We see here the completion. 52 days of work. And if you will, these first several chapters of the book of Nehemiah are covering those events for the most part. So this is a wonderful record and news of something that God had initiated in the heart of Nehemiah that was accomplished and finished, and that's an exciting thing. We're going to talk about that this evening. But as we just kind of begin tonight, and just a little bit of a review, in the previous mention, that the things were nearing completion, just the doors and the gates needed to be set up and hung, and etc. The enemy were launching another assault, and they were getting more intense in their threats and seeking to actually physically harm Nehemiah, trying to lure him in by their words and their letters and their trying to even hire and make up things about Nehemiah, trying to get him to stop the work and slow the work down, and all of these things, the rumor mills, the slander, the just blatant lies that were being told and made up about Nehemiah. All these things were encircling the culmination, as the fruition, as the finishing of the work was about to be at hand. And I hope that we took note that these are some of the things that we may experience as we try to reach goals, as we try to press toward the mark, as we try to go out in our community and reach people for Christ, as we try to accomplish the work that God has set forth for us to accomplish. You understand that people can get distracted. I can get distracted really easily. And, you know, I think most of us are that way. And maybe sometimes the devil's not maybe just out to flat out destroy us and devour us, but maybe he's just out to distract us. And if that works, then He'll go for that method just as easy as he would for the destruction method. So you understand that all of these things were taking place here as they went through the work in chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now, that brings us to the finishing here of the wall. As Nehemiah trusted in God, he put his fears, his doubts, his discouragements, all in God's hands. And he said, God, this is your work, and you're going to be the one that accomplishes it through us. And so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. So the time that they set forth, if you remember back in chapter 2, Nehemiah comes to the city. He takes his beast and he goes around at night and kind of surveys everything. From that point to this point now, 52 days. That's fantastic. That's astonishing. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to maybe look at a diagram or a picture of the wall of Jerusalem and how it would have been at that time before it was broken down that first time. You know, it's been rebuilt a few times through history and such and so forth. It's very interesting. But we're not talking about a small task here. And if you will, Jerusalem is no small city. It's quite intricate, quite large. And so this certainly was a grand accomplishment. And so you understand that victories can be won. They can be. I don't know what else to say. Because I think sometimes Christians have this ho-hum mentality that we can't accomplish anything. It's the last days. The devil and his crew are working overtime as the day of the Lord approaches. The world is waxing worse and worse so that it will be as it was in the days of Noah, right? Because the Bible says all those things are going to happen. So I think that churches look around and they see other churches and churches aren't able to grow like maybe they once did, and the soul winning efforts are not as viable as they once were, and bus ministries are dwindling, and missionaries are coming off the field, and churches are closing their doors, and there are lists upon lists upon lists of churches that don't have pastors, and their churches, their membership isn't growing, it's just dwindling, and there's all these negative things in our world today. And certainly, all those things are true. But it doesn't mean that we have to be discouraged. And it doesn't mean that there are not any victories being won for the cause of Christ. Because there are. There are many. We've seen many victories here. Last year, we had four wonderful opportunities, and we were able to go at 100 or greater in attendance. I count that as a victory. That's wonderful. But as I said this morning, we're going to forget those successes and press toward the mark. Amen? So we have two Sundays this year so far, and guess where we are? 91 and 91. That's fantastic. I'm not going to belittle that. I'm going to see more hundreds, okay? Let's get into that as something that we're pressing toward. But I hope you understand that victories can be won. There's a song. It says, "If just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it'd be worth every struggle. It'd be worth every trial." You understand that one person being saved is a victory. I mean, even if we go all of 2023 in this local church, we go out and knock on doors, we give out gospel tracts, we have big days, we have Sunday services and Sunday night services and vacation Bible schools. And if after all of that, we see one person saved, don't be disgruntled. Don't be discouraged, because that's a victory. It's a victory. Now, is it what we would like to see happen? No, I'd like to see hundreds of people saved this year. I'd love to see our church double in attendance this year. That'd be fantastic. We might need a new building. You don't like that. I like that. Wouldn't it be great to build a new building? Let me put it this way. Wouldn't it be great to need to build a new building? Going through the process of building a building, I know, is very difficult.
And all the pastors out there that are hearing me, that are my friends, they're like, no, you don't want to build a building. Well, I may not want to, but I'd like to have to. Amen? Hey, there's victories. Victories can be won. Oh, they may be small. They may be far between, perhaps. But victories nonetheless. Do you know that just doing the will of God is a victory? Whether it results in anything or not. Because we're accomplishing something. Whatever it is that God has for us to accomplish this year, listen, if you accomplish reading your Bible this year, that's a victory. If you accomplish, maybe you've never won someone to Christ before and you get to see someone be saved, man, that's a victory. Maybe you're more faithful at church. You're able to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or increase your attendance, or increase your service toward God, or increase your faithfulness. Those are victories. And victories can be won if we won't quit, if we won't allow Satan to distract us, if we won't be sidelined by discouragement, if we will not be sidelined by criticism, if we will not be sidelined by all the things that the world is attacking us with on a daily basis, we can see victories in our life. Nehemiah overcame discouragement. He overcame criticism. He overcame rumors. He overcame difficulty in finances. He overcame murmuring. That's a tough one. How'd you like to be Moses? No thanks. You see all that Moses... Now, Moses wasn't perfect. You understand that. But he was a very outstanding leader. And a good example for the most part. Now, like I said before in the past, I'm glad that he and God never got on the same page about the children of Israel. Because either one was against them and one was for them, and they were... If they were both been on the against side, there would have been no people of Israel left. There's just been a people of Moses. but great leader. But boy, he had to deal with as a dad and as a principal of a when as a principal of a Christian school. That's one of the things I hated the most is complaining kids. I don't want to hear it. You know, I tease, I guess I am serious. My kids don't know what hungry is. Most of us don't know what hungry is. We really don't. You know, your kid, I'm hungry, I'm starving. You know, they just ate 5 minutes ago. You know, they have no idea. I'm thirsty. Or we never get to do anything. You've heard. I mean, oh my goodness. Yes, we do. You know that statistically speaking, in America, the poorest families in America are richer than most of the rest of the world. You know, we all these things. Don't compromise. Don't give up. Don't give way. Don't lay down. Don't quit. Victories can be won. The wall was completed. 52 days. And they were not 52 peaceful days, I'll tell you that. They were 52 difficult days. But you know what? The level of difficulty doesn't matter. Remember who we are and why we're here. Remember who He is, and we'll be successful. We'll be victorious. God's strength is what we need. God's support is what we need. The Spirit of God and His guidance and leadership is what we need. We need to stay true. We need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to press toward the mark and be victorious. I love the little statement that's made that failure cannot cope with persistence. Just be persistent. If you're persistent, you will not fail. Because you'll press toward the mark. You'll overcome. God will be faithful. He just wants us not to quit. He just wants us not to back down. He just wants us to overcome, to endure to the end. In John chapter 4, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest.
Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Are you set on finishing his work? Completing the work that God has entered us into? Yes, it's his harvest, but we're the laborers. They're white already into harvest, and the laborers are few. What does he say? Pray ye therefore the Lord the harvest that he might do what? Send forth laborers into his harvest. Why? Because there's a victory to win. There are souls to be saved. There's a work to be done, and we need to enter into that with him. In John 17, Jesus again related this idea to his disciples. He said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me within thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Jesus said, I finished the work. He said, I'm done with this work. And then just a few chapters later, up on the cross, he received the vinegar and said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You understand that finishing the work of God is what's important. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus set his face as a flint. He was purposed. Father, not my will, but thine be done. And we need to have that determination. Nehemiah had that determination. And in 52 difficult days, the wall was finished. The burden was completed. These things were done. Jesus Christ ministered here on this earth for three and a half year period of time of ministry, and then gave himself a ransom for many. And the work was finished. Paul in Acts chapter 20, as he was kind of finishing up things in his time there in the ministry, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So, and if you remember in our Sunday school lessons we've been going through, we're in chapter 23. So this is in chapter 20. Was he yet done? No, he said that I might finish. So you fast forward as he goes to Jerusalem. He's attacked there. He's set before Festus and Felix and Agrippa and all these people. He's sent on to Rome. They face Euroclodon, right? The big storm. They're stuck there on Miletus. The vipers come out of the fire and bite his hand. You know, all these things. He gets to Rome. He's imprisoned. He's under house arrest. You know, all these things happen to him. And finally, we understand the end that he meets there in Rome. But in 2 Timothy then, as he's possibly penning the final letter that he writes on this earth, if you will, he says in chapter 4, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That ought to be our desire, to finish our course, to win the victory. And it can be won if we won't quit. Did everything go exactly how Paul thought it would have gone? Probably not. You think he would have experienced all those things necessarily? He probably didn't know the magnitude of it. Even though some of it was foretold, right? You understand that. But listen, he did not quit.
He did not give up. He said, I want to finish my course. I don't want to have preached to others and I myself be a castaway. He said, I'm going to get this done and I'm going to accomplish it. And then he wrote to Timothy and said, I have accomplished it. I have finished it. I have won this victory. And he says, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Tonight in the track club, I was able to talk with the teenagers about it's a doctrinal study. We're talking about the Bema Seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. And how that's not a time of judgment as far as whether or not we're going to be entered into heaven or not. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about a judgment of our works. And listen, for all intents and purposes, works do matter. They don't matter for salvation. Not at all, because salvation is a free gift. It's of no merit. We're not talking about salvation. But good works are important. How we live our life is important. And we were talking about how there in Corinthians it talks about the wood, the hay, and the stubble being burnt up. And it says that this counted as a loss. But the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, as they're revealed by fire, those are things of spiritual worth. That's a reward is given for that. You understand that there are victories to be won. There are treasures to be laid up in heaven. There are things to accomplish. And we cannot quit. We cannot be discouraged. We cannot lay aside because of criticism or because of rumors or because of compromise or because of the distractions of the devil, the temptations of this world. We cannot allow them to sidetrack us from winning the victory. Go back to our scriptures here in Nehemiah. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. You know what excites me about that particular passage of Scripture? That even the heathen, even the enemies of God, understood this was a work of God, not a work of man. You know what I want people to see when they look at this local church? I want them to see a work of God, not a work of me, not a work of you, not a work of man. You know what? God needs to be exalted in everything that we do. Nehemiah conducted himself in such a way that there was no other explanation for what was accomplished than this was a work of God. That this was wrought of God. And listen, that's how it ought to be in our lives. As people look at your life, your personal testimony, the testimony of this local church, the testimony that we have in this community, I hope that the people see that this work was wrought of our God. That's the testimony we ought to endeavor to have. We should maintain this testimony by how we order ourselves in their sight. You understand that if we do things in the flesh, that's what they're going to see. What did Jesus say about the Pharisees as they stood on the corners of the streets? All dressed up, right? Looking good. Those whited sepulchers. And raising their hands toward heaven, right? What did he say about their prayers and doing their alms before men? That they have their reward. Because they do it to be seen of men. Folks, listen. I don't do what I do to be seen of men. We ought to do what we do to be seen of God. This is a work of God. Then we ought to go about our business with the, I was talking about the kids, the thing about the judgment seat, it's not just about have you done the good works. Why have you done the good works? What's your motivation? Did you do it because somebody made you do it? Did you do it because you wanted to get something for doing it? Guess what the Bible says? You have your reward. We understand that this work that Nehemiah and the people accomplished was not of them, but it was of God. And that's what we ought to desire as people here in this time doing the work of God. Is God at work here in this place? Is God at work through you? Can someone look at your life and say, I don't know how they did it. If they try to do it, I don't know how they accomplished it. There's no other explanation. Then God is working in their life. Hey, can I tell you something? I'll tell you this, but I'm not going to use that term because I don't like it. Never mind. See, I got distracted. Don't worry about it. I'll be okay. Did you know that moving here in the midst of COVID was probably not a great idea? You okay with that? Physically speaking, I mean, in a worldly sense, right? Guess what? The housing market was crazy. Okay? So selling a house, good idea. Trying to buy a house, bad idea. Can I tell you something? Without going into great detail, the workings of how God called our family to this place from September through October, November of 2020 was of God. It all worked out in every single detail. And there is no human physical explanation possible. Because guess what? Everything worked out just the way it was supposed to. I mean, it was a very nice, seemingly seamless transition. As things just kind of one after the other fell in place. And can I tell you something? I had nothing to do with it. And even as wonderful as y'all are, you had nothing to do with it. It was a work wrought of our God. Just the details of how we were able to sell our house to a couple that we grew up teaching in Sunday school and taking to camps. I am aging. I know I'm still young, but I am aging. So if I can sell my house to somebody I taught in Sunday school, boy, that's pretty tough. And how that all worked out. Not having to pay realtor fees. Not having to deal with all of that nonsense. Being able to give these young people a discount. And that was something that God impressed upon our hearts. And as we looked for a home, in a time in May of 2021, where there were no deals to be had, and people were paying over 30 to 40% over appraisal values for homes, God gave us a discount. There were no discounts to be had. There is no other explanation than to say that that work was wrought of God. It was nothing we did. It was His design. And guess what? The closing dates ended up matching up the same day. And guess what? We were even able to close on a Monday, and we left for vacation on Tuesday. So we kind of moved in, but didn't really move in until after we got back. But can I tell you something? Everything has worked out in accordance to God's design. And there is nothing I can say. As we move forward from December of 2020, as the church began to grow, listen, we were just about the work, just like Nehemiah was about the work. God has given the increase. Some of us have planted. Some of us have watered. Some of us have labored. But God has given the increase. These 4,100 in attendance days that we had this last year, it wasn't because of you and it wasn't because of me. It was because of what God has done here in this place. It's amazing. And that's what we ought to desire that people see as we accomplish the work. Has God worked in your life this past year? Is God looking to work in your life this coming year? That's what we ought to be concerned with. It's evident in Nehemiah's life that he wanted nothing more than for God to work in his life. For God to accomplish this work through his life. He was willing to be a vessel, meet for the master's use. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It's only a work that God can do. We cannot do it in and of ourselves. Because we know that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Well, that brings us to the closing verses here. In verse 17 it says, moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. There's correspondence between this enemy and the people of Judah. We see this connection here, and he explains in verse 18 that there were many in Judah sworn to Tobiah because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, and so he was family. Oops. And guess what? They reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. You see, but they finished the wall. This great work was accomplished. The devil's been defeated. He's down and out and has no more victory to claim. Watch out. It's not over till it's over. Till that final trump sounds, you understand? Listen, just because the job is completed, just because the victory is won, doesn't mean that the devil is done working. Nehemiah had to deal with the fact that some of these people were familially, I don't know. They were attached to him by family ties. This guy, Tobiah. An enemy. One who breathed out threatenings. Who wanted the work not to be accomplished. He kept in contact with them. They kept in correspondence back and forth with Nehemiah. The people did not know necessarily all the treacherous things that Tobiah had done. They tried to point out all the good things that Tobiah had done and tried to present a case to Nehemiah of what a grand fellow this is. And Nehemiah's like, y'all don't even know the half of it. Can I tell you something? We need to beware lest we allow the devil to use us
or others to hurt and hinder the work of God. You know, I don't think that the people of Judah were necessarily doing this to undermine Nehemiah or to cause some kind of mutiny. They were just standing up for their family member, perhaps. But the devil was using this circumstance as a point of hindrance to the work of God in their lives. We need to beware. We need to watch out. Here's some encouraging or revealing things that we need to pay attention to from Scripture. Look at Matthew 7. It's in verses 15 to 20. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Let me ask you a question. Could Tobiah have been an ally? Sure, he could have. But what did he prove himself to be in the first six chapters of this book? An enemy. By his what? By his fruit. By his works. By the things that he did. You know, necessarily, Nehemiah didn't roll into town and just pick out Tobiah and said, "I hate you. You know, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. I got you pegged, sir." No, it was by Tobiah's associations and Tobiah's works and Tobiah's letters that he tried to harm Nehemiah and harm the work. And it was just by his fruits that Nehemiah marked this guy. In Acts chapter 20, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Paul was speaking to the people of Ephesus, the folks that had gathered there. He said, "And to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears." We need to be careful. We need to keep our guard up. How easy is it to, once we have won the victory or accomplished the work or accomplished the task, to let our guard down? You see, even in the few verses following the declaration that the wall was finished in the 52 days, 20 and 5th day of the month Elul, and it was accomplished. It gives these three verses to close out the chapter that there was still some difficulty circling, that Nehemiah still had to keep up his guard, that the people still had to maintain their testimony and to maintain their watch care as to not be devoured by wolves. We need to make sure that we do not allow Satan to get a foothold. In Romans chapter 16, Paul writes and says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." That's Tobiah. He was deceiving his family. And trying to present the case, "Hey, tell Nehemiah what great guy I am." And then secretly he's writing letters to Nehemiah to try to destroy him. It says that they deceived the simple. It says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." You understand that even in all this,
Nehemiah continued to trust in God. He didn't let his guard down. He knew what was going on. He had it figured out. Folks, sometimes we just go about the work of the Lord with a clueless fashion. We're not paying attention to the things that are going on, and we've got to pay attention. We've got to be alert. Dr. Smith always used to say, you need to be alert. The world needs more alerts. We do. We can't just stick our head in the sand and watch the world, well, we wouldn't be able to see, would we, pass by. Well, God will take care of us. You may have, I don't agree with all of the things in this man's life, but, you know, Billy Sunday did a great work in this country. I got to kind of get an idea of the mission there in Chicago where he was supposedly saved and got to see some of the things there in that area of the country. You all know who Billy Sunday was, right? He made a comment that he was going to focus on the ministry and he was going to let God take care of his family. Well, he ended up losing his whole family. I mean, how foolish. You understand that we've got to beware. We've got to be alert. We've got to watch out. The Bible says we're supposed to be walk circumspectly. We're supposed to be wise, if you will, to these things and aware of the things that the devil tries to do. And listen, don't be fooled and don't be foolish. The devil would like nothing more than to put a wolf in here in sheep's clothing and destroy this local congregation. We got to watch out. Hey, have we had some victories? Yes. Are we looking forward to more victories that God would accomplish here in this place? Absolutely. But we can't just sit back and say, oh, we did it. We got over 100 in 2022. Praise God. Let's just enjoy it for a little while. I press toward the mark. Remember I said this morning, forgetting those things which are behind. So we've got to be aware. Nehemiah was certainly aware. One last passage of scripture and we'll be done tonight. If you'd like to, you can turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says this, beginning in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in the righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know what, guys, we need to live according to how God wants us to live. If we'll do such, then we won't give place to the devil. But if we turn from these things, if we decide to go our own way, or perhaps walk in the flesh and not in the spirit, guess what? You might as well just say, hey, Pastor, I brought a visitor today here to church with me. His name is Lucifer. We're the ones that bring him in. We're the ones that let him in. We give him a foothold in our life, and which becomes a stronghold, which becomes a stumbling block and a difficulty. You know, I'll say it again. I don't think that the people of Judah necessarily meant to harbor a wolf and bring him into the sheepfold. But they were sure trying to do a good job of it, weren't they? But Nehemiah understood. Nehemiah was alert. He was watching out for these things. It's an interesting thing to look at. Why would God put these three verses at the end of this victory? I think as a warning. For us to understand that even in times of victory, we cannot let down our guard. We've got to stay faithful to the fight. Fight until the end. And that's what God wants us to accomplish.